The Philadelphia Church of God Headquarters campus in Edmond, Oklahoma is currently hosting an archaeological exhibit called Seals of Isaiah and King Hezekiah Discovered. These tiny clay seal impressions deliver a powerful message relevant to your life. Listen as these valuable artifacts speak next on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. We had an exhibit on June 10th, 2018 that was here in Edmond, Oklahoma, and we had speakers from the King David Hotel in Jerusalem speaking live to Edmond and vice versa. The keynote speaker was Dr. Alot Mazar, and we believe she's one of the outstanding archaeologists in this world. The feature of the exhibit was the seals of Hezekiah and Isaiah, and we have a new brochure which explains all that history to you, and if you combine those two seals, we believe it becomes one of the most exciting discoveries of all time. And incidentally, they were discovered in really the same strata and very close to each other. So we'll send anybody that requested a free booklet about this exhibit, and it really has a lot of powerful information that you, I think, will really enjoy, and it'll help you to understand archaeology much better. There are many critics in this field of archaeology, and that leads to quite a lot of confusion, but that confusion was eliminated for me mostly when Dr. Mazar said, "Well, let the stones speak." I think that's a very dramatic statement. Just four little words, "Let the stones speak." And I think it's a tremendous insight into the profession of archaeology. We have been working with the Mazar family for 50 years, and that includes Dr. Alot Mazar and her grandfather. But so after all that history, I'd like to offer my view in this way. How the seals of Hezekiah and Isaiah speak. How do they speak to us? I believe you have to have a lot of help from the Hebrew Bible and even secular history as well as Bible history to understand that and understand how that those seals really do speak to us today. And I think it's a phenomenal process to look into this. We wrote in the brochure that the Hezekiah bulla is the only seal impression belonging to an Israelite or Judean king ever to have been found in controlled scientific excavations. And Dr. Mazar says that's everything. So this is the only one when you're talking about the Hezekiah bulla. The only one that's ever been found in a controlled scientific excavation. This is what it says on the seal. Belonging to Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah. Dr. Mazar says that she believes the timing of that is after a serious invasion of Hezekiah's and Hezekiah's miraculous healing, as we'll explain as we go along. But you can look at 2 Kings 20. I'll just paraphrase that to you. But it says, in those days of Hezekiah, he was sick unto death, and Isaiah told him he was going to die and put things in order. So Hezekiah went to God very fervently and talked about how he had obeyed God and been an outstanding king, and he really was the most outstanding king in Judah after King David. And God was impressed by his tears and his faith, and he said, "Well, I'll heal you and add 15 years to your life." And then he also went on to say, "I'm going to deliver you and the city of Jerusalem," and we'll cover that as we go along. Hezekiah wanted a sign. He wanted a sign from God that he was going to be healed, and Isaiah said, "Well, okay, we'll have the sun go forward or go backward, and which one would you prefer?" And he said, "Well, I'd much prefer the going backward. It goes forward all the time." So Hezekiah actually experienced the sun going backwards, and the shadow on his sundial showed that it went backwards 10 degrees. Now, this is amazing prophecy and history that Isaiah is talking about here. And when you start talking about that omnipotent power of God and doing all those things, that's impressive. And there, what could be more impressive than a sign like that from the great God who has control totally over this universe? And also on the Hezekiah seal, you have the downturned wings that really indicates God protects us. For example, you'll find in Psalm 84 and verse 11 that God is a sun and a shield. And Psalm 91 and verse 4 says, under his wings you shall take refuge. And Ezekiel 16 verse 8 says, I spread my wing over you. So God protects the faithful. That's what he's saying. Now I will just preface all this with this statement. Dr. Mazar and I have different religions, different beliefs, but we do have a very fervent passion, both of us, for archaeology. And we have been archaeology partners for quite a few years now. But if you look at her many significant discoveries, I'd like to see where you could find any archaeologist that compares with the significant finds she has accomplished in her archaeological work. That is impressive. Now, I want to read a verse to you from Malachi, and it honestly makes me think that Malachi must have had a seal of Hezekiah or a bulla of Hezekiah himself. Notice what he said. Malachi 4 and verse 2, the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N, the Son of Righteousness, the Messiah, shall arise with healing in his wings. You have healing and you have wings and you have the Son. That sounds like the bulla of Hezekiah. And if you go on and look at verses 4 to 6, it speaks of the day of the Lord. So this is a message for the latter days, not just for the time of Hezekiah. And it really is in time going to reach everybody if you believe the Hebrew Bible. And I certainly do. But look at what Malachi is saying here, and it certainly reaches out to a lot more than just a few people in a slice of history. But here is the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness. That is the Son, certainly the Son that caused the sun to go backwards. That is just illustrating the power of God. And it's talking about the same thing, as far as I'm concerned. So the symbolism here is really telling us about, not about Hezekiah, but about the God that controls and created the universe, and he controls it and has awesome power. And that we need to keep in mind if we're going to have faith like Hezekiah did. So it seems to me that Bible verse there is just gives you the same meaning that the Hezekiah bulla has. This S-U-N, the righteous Messiah, arises with healing. And he healed Hezekiah. He was about to die and he healed him. And healing, he has healing in his wings. And if you want to expand that, we'll get into this as we go along. You could say Hezekiah also, even though he was about to die and he was healed physically, you could go on and say, well, God also healed Jerusalem or Judah at that time. He took them under his wings and protected them. Judah lost 46 cities to an Assyrian king. I mean, that was very unnerving to Hezekiah, but he did something magnificent to solve the problem. So let's compare the Hezekiah seal to Malachi 4 and verse 2, and I think you have the one of the greatest hopes there you could find in the Bible. It's about the ultimate hope here. It's about the God of Hezekiah and Isaiah, this God of righteousness, this Messiah that is going to rule the world very soon, according to many of the scriptures. But look, that will he'll do great things for us now, even if we trust him like Hezekiah did. And I think just understanding the symbolism of all this seal and what it's talking about there in Malachi 4 and verse 2, I just think that's some of the most amazing prophecy in all the Bible and history as well. And it's talking about the latter days if you look at verses 4 through 6. So when I look at that clay seal and tie it to Malachi 4 verses 1 and 2, I tell you, it really does, to me, bring a certain emotional response and helps me with a spiritual view of what this is all about. And it's really bringing God into the picture in a most spectacular way. I think the entire Jewish nation and the entire world needs to understand what this seal is all about, and what the Isaiah seal is all about. The scientific community is still debating, let's say, the Isaiah seal. But let me tell you this about it. I think we all need to understand, and this is in the brochure, but this bulla dates to right back to the 8th century B.C., precisely at the time of Isaiah. We're getting into his seal now. There is there's a seal there that we think belongs to Isaiah. And it was found just a few feet away from the seal of Hezekiah, in the same soil strata. And I think if you look at how many times Isaiah and Hezekiah were mentioned together, you'll find like 15 verses in the Hebrew Bible where they're working together. So it's fitting that we would find two seals of those men right together. Now, it would be quite a coincidence if that's not the way it is, but there, if you look at this, you had to be a high-ranking person to even have one of those seals in the first place, and it would indeed be amazingly miraculous if you found another high-ranking Isaiah in that very same place. Again, we say in the brochure that the great weight of evidence proves that this is really the personal seal of Isaiah. Now, we believe that, and I think the Hebrew Bible really, when you apply what the Hebrew Bible says, it really adds to that evidence and makes it all very clear. It brings God into the picture. So, let's just get a little background here and juxtapose the Hebrew Bible history along with the secular history. And we need to have some secular history here to show that really all these events, certainly the ones about the warfare, are proven by secular history as well as Bible history. 2 Kings 18 and verse 13, it says, "In the 14th year of King Hezekiah did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them." He took them, 46 of them, and it took him about 12 months to do that. That was a real shocker to Judah, because those were great defense cities. And this powerhouse, this superpower of that age, came marching in there as if it was no big deal, and in a year they had them all conquered. you can see that there's a history of the siege of Lachish, which was the last one and the greatest fortified one in Judah other than Jerusalem. He laid siege against Lachish and all his power with him. Sennacherib documented his siege of Lachish in massive carved portrayals known as reliefs on the walls of his palace in Nineveh from left to right. These impressive reliefs display the gradual destruction of Lachish and the torture and enslavement of thousands of Jews. So, what happened here? Well, Hezekiah was so moved by this that he went into the temple and stripped all of the gold off the pillars and the doors, and all the silver of the temple he took and he gave it to Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, to try to buy his protection so that he wouldn't come and destroy Jerusalem. And yet when Sennacherib received all that gold and silver, he immediately started marching to Jerusalem. Quite an interesting history here, to say the least. But just think about that. This is Solomon's temple that Hezekiah had done so much to clean up, and it was just in a ruined mess when he became king. And look what he did. He just ripped it apart from the inside almost, because, well, he didn't go to Isaiah this time, as he learned a great lesson here. He didn't go to Isaiah and ask it for his advice about that, and that's where he made a huge mistake. So it says in verse 14 of 2 Kings 19, Hezekiah went up into the house of the Eternal and spread it before the Eternal, and with Sennacherib's letter spread before him, the king pleaded for divine protection. And here's what he said to God. See, God answered this prayer, and that was made by Hezekiah, because he went to Isaiah and asked Isaiah for directions this time. Isaiah the prophet. Here's what he said, and he shall not come into this city. This is the message from Isaiah. Nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into the city, says the Eternal, for I will defend this city. I will defend this city to save it, for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Now that is really, really quite a statement. Now here's the amazing thing. When the soldiers came to attack Jerusalem, and they had 185,000 soldiers, and the soldiers inside Jerusalem rose up one morning and looked out, one dawn, and looked out, and all of those 185,000 soldiers were lying dead because an angel of God had killed them. Now, that's something quite perplexing to the historians of this world. And King Sennacherib could do nothing but go back home to Nineveh. But he wanted to record the history of all the accomplishments and the conquering of those 46 cities that were, well, certainly well fortified. He wanted to make sure that he recorded that history, and he did so on his palace walls. Here's what we wrote in the brochure. It says, among the items Sennacherib commissioned were the three clay prisms. And he boasted about conquering those 46 cities. And he said he even had Hezekiah trapped in Jerusalem like a caged bird. And then he ends it, his history. He didn't say a word about capturing Jerusalem. And everybody, of course, expected that. But notice, let me read you what was on the Taylor prism of those three prisms. It reads, as for Hezekiah the Judahite, who did not submit to my yoke, 46 of his strong walled cities I besieged and took them. This is Sennacherib history he made on his own palace walls. And you can view those today in the London Museum. Anyhow, Hezekiah himself was like a caged bird shut up in Jerusalem, his royal city. But think about what happened there because of one man who had tremendous faith. Well, two men really, Isaiah and Hezekiah, when they were working together, God really empowered those men. And look what happened. Well, surely the historians don't understand all of this. And one like Berossus, he was the 3rd century Babylonian historian, agrees with this account almost exactly like the Bible states it, the Hebrew Bible. But what happened? Why did Sennacherib have to go home humiliated? And it was so bad. Now, you'd have to say something did go terribly wrong, because not long after he had gone back home, he was actually worshiping, and two of his sons killed him. And surely it was because he had so disgraced them. And then another son took control and became king over that country. But it was most humiliating to Sennacherib to have to do that. But what happened to that huge, monstrous army? It all just disappeared in one night because a man had faith in God. Hezekiah first, well, after he had gone to Isaiah, but Isaiah had it even before that, and they worked together, and Jerusalem was saved, and not even an arrow came into Jerusalem. Not even an arrow, one arrow. So I want to just add the conclusion to this that I think is also most interesting. Isaiah wrote his book and said in that book, he went to Israel and to Judah, but he wrote in his book that it's for the time to come. And if you look at the Hebrew, that just means the latter days. He wrote his book for the latter days, and we believe we are living in those days even now. We believe that's the time we're living in. And don't we, in any time though, need to have the faith that Hezekiah and Isaiah had working together to obey God? And look at the tremendous miracles like you've never heard of before, and even in the Bible in a lot of cases. Well, how many times do you read that the sun went backwards just to give Hezekiah a sign, or anybody a sign? Why, you don't read of that in any other place, that at least in that kind of a context. Isaiah said that this was all for the latter days, and we're facing, really, our number one problem is that is human survival. So we ought to be able to go to God. We need His help as never before. It says in Isaiah 9 and verse 7 that there's not, regardless of what men do, there is going to be no end of the government of God and peace and justice. There's going to be no end of it. And, well, isn't that really the same message of the Hezekiah and the Isaiah seals? There's not going to be any end to the rule of the Messiah over the earth and all the universe forever. And that's something to look forward to. Until next week, this is Gerald Furry. Goodbye, friends.
The Philadelphia Church of God Headquarters campus in Edmond, Oklahoma is currently hosting an archaeological exhibit called Seals of Isaiah and King Hezekiah Discovered. These tiny clay seal impressions deliver a powerful message relevant to your life. Listen as these valuable artifacts speak. Perhaps no archaeologist has uncovered more proof of the Bible than Dr. Eilat Mazar. Her discoveries include King David's palace, King Solomon's wall, Nehemiah's wall, a gold medallion with a candlestick imprint, two clay seal impressions of the prophet Jeremiah's captors, a clay seal of King Hezekiah, a clay seal most likely bearing the name of the prophet Isaiah,
and coins from the Jewish revolt against the Romans in the first century AD. What sets Dr. Mazar apart from nearly every archaeologist in the world is her reliance on the Bible as an accurate historical record. Her numerous discoveries are a result of simply believing what the Bible says. Request our free reprint article, Has Eilat Mazar Discovered Archaeological Evidence of Isaiah the Prophet? In her work, Dr. Mazar refuses to jump to conclusions. She prefers to let the stones speak for themselves. The clay seal bearing the name of Isaiah is just one example. Her excavation team found only the bottom part of this broken artifact, which means that some symbols or letters are missing. While Dr. Mazar doesn't dogmatically label this find as the property of the prophet Isaiah, she does suggest it by presenting a mountain of evidence. Read our free reprint article about this discovery and decide for yourself if this ancient artifact really could bear the name of Isaiah the prophet. An archaeological exhibit called Seals of Isaiah and King Hezekiah Discovered opened on June 10th at Armstrong Auditorium in Edmond, Oklahoma. For those unable to visit the exhibit before the anticipated closing date of August 19th, a virtual exhibit tour is available online. Call now to request your free DVD copy of this virtual tour. You will also receive a free copy of the Seals of Isaiah and King Hezekiah Discovered exhibit brochure. Learn the history of the Assyrian and Judean kingdoms during the 7th and 8th centuries BC. Discover how God intervened to save the Jews from conquest because of their righteous king and prophet. All our materials are available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request the reprint article, DVD, and brochure today. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. All our materials are available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request the reprint article, DVD, and brochure today. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. The preceding program was a paid presentation of The Key of David, brought to you by the Philadelphia Church of God.